Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And which is worse, the New York State Senate deadlocked and unable to vote, or the New York State Senate back at work and unable to vote, at least on mayoral control of public schools, now stuck mostly on the issue of parent power? Liz Benjamin is covering for the Daily News. Hi, Liz.
How are you, Brian?
Good, thanks. And let's first give the Senate its due on what it has done in the last day. They made some rules changes that good government groups have been after for many years in the eternal clamor to fix Albany. Tell us what they did and what you think it means.
Yes, they made this most significant reform they've done in some time at 3 o'clock in the morning when no one was watching. Which
does that mean you had to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yep, that's what it means. But and there were, you know, various different lobbyists sleeping in the balcony. I mean, it was... And then they stood up and had a different take of why. You know, of course, the Republicans said it was all about June 8th, and the Democrats said the coup date that was. And the Democrats said, no, this is something that we started back in January. But, of course, they were too slow, which is part of the reason why those two renegades bolted, although there were many reasons for that.
And what's in it? What's really going to change?
Well, it's a 33-page resolution. And what changes to, there are some significant changes. I mean, first of all, leaders, the majority leader and the president pro tem of the Senate, which is now two separate jobs under Joe Bruno, it was both just one. Those two leaders, Malcolm Smith, he's the president pro tem, and the majority leader is Pedro Espada, have 8-year terms. Term limits for leaders is new.
Joe Bruno, who is Senate Majority Leader for life, practically.
13 years, yeah.
Or even Sheldon Silver in the Assembly, but it doesn't apply to the Assembly. But now you can't have, like, a permanent leader of the Senate anymore.
Well, right. I mean, right, exactly. And the whole issue with the Assembly is going to be a fascinating one because the question is whether these changes will bring about more changes in the Assembly and up the pressure for things to be done differently there. Mm-hmm. I think that there's some interest in doing that in the good government community.
Does it disperse power in other ways so we don't just have this three men in a room?
It'll remain to be seen regarding that kind of thing on budget negotiations, but it does make it easier for bills, for rank-and-file members to get bills out onto the floor, and it also deals with resource allocation in terms of staffing, district office rents, and the most important thing, of course, in the senator's eyes is PORC, also known as member items, and that will be a 2/3, 1/3 split between the majority and the minority.
What did it used to be?
It used to be whatever the majority felt like. I mean, essentially, there was never a codified, in the rules, split, a required allocation mm-hmm. for one side or the other.
Now, listeners, as some of you know, we've been taking Facebook and WNYC.org website posts from our listeners on the question, what is the proper role of parents in public schools? And we'll put some of you on the air now if you want to call in with your thoughts on that. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Liz Benjamin from the Daily News covering Albany, mayoral control of the public schools. There isn't that much of a summer vacation left. This was one of the big things that people were so upset about, wasn't getting passed by June 30th when it expired.
Right.
Now they're back in session and they're still not passing it. How much does parent power have to do with it?
Well, that has quite a lot to do with it, but really I think one of the big issues is this arts council that the Democrats, led by John Sampson, want to create, which includes a $3 million-plus allocation in terms of resources and to create that. And I think that the Bloomberg folks and the supporters of the administration feel that that's just a member item and there will be a patronage mill for that center, and they don't think that that's an appropriate thing to be attached to mayoral control. I mean, part of what the holdup was yesterday, you know, the session was supposed to start at 1. It didn't really get underway until about 8, and it was rescheduled about 4 or 5 times. part of the problem was there was a lot of behind-the-closed-doors negotiations going on two fronts, which was rules reform and mayoral control. And my understanding of mayoral control is that the talks weren't going so fantastically. There are three chapter amendments that the Senate Democrats are trying to attach to the Assembly bill, which largely kept the power of the mayor over the schools intact. That was passed in June when the Assembly left back before the coup. And the administration doesn't want to do it. Doesn't want to support any of those amendments. So I think that was problematic. And John Sampson, who's now the Democratic conference leader and is on the record saying he wanted to limit mayoral control, and some other outspoken members of the Democratic conference, like say Kevin Parker, they need to make changes. They're very publicly out there, and they need some political cover. They can't just have nothing.
Let's hear what some callers are saying about this parent power. James in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. What's the proper role of parents in the public schools?
Well, in my opinion, the proper role of parents is, I think we have a model in going on right now in the Congress, the Sotomayor. I mean, the proper role of a good parent, even if it's a poor parent, is to encourage the child's learning. And right now what the problem in the public schools is not enough it's not that there's not enough parental control of the institution per se, but the parents are failing their children. I mean, $200 on sneakers and, you know, designer clothes to be cool instead of $200 on Encyclopedia Britannica, as Sotomayor's mother did. You know, the parents need to do their job of turning off the TV, as Barack Obama says, so that the kids can do the homework. And the parents need to side with the teachers on discipline issues. If there's a problem in the school with your child, it's more likely that the teacher is right and not the child, so an atmosphere of learning is created. So right now, the failure of parents is not because of institutional. It's not because the parents are not picking the Board of Education or you know, controlling
right. You think
the
it's
chancellor
parental
because
failure
they are not... You know,
in the home. And James, I'm going to leave it there so we can get some other voices on. And, of course, you might not need the 30-volume Encyclopedia Britannica anymore if you have good Internet access. But, Liz Benjamin, what exact parental control over school policies are some of these senators holding out for? Is it clear to you?
Well, there also, if you look at the amendments that have been proposed, there also is a proposal for parent training centers, I believe, that the borough presidents would be tasked with establishing one in each borough, and some other issues in terms of, I mean, one even goes so far as to put term limits on the PEP, which is something that the Bloomberg folks have said is a complete non-starter. That would dramatically reduce the mayor's influence over that board, over that panel, rather. So, I mean, yes, there's a lot of talk about, you know, parents and empowering parents and getting them involved, et cetera. But, you know, in terms of how much exactly these changes are tailored to do to address that is not exactly clear to me.
I think Ken in the Bronx is going to disagree with our last caller. Hi, Ken.
Yes, I think we have to remember that while the mayor wants to educate, he's also a politician and he has political concerns. While the teachers and the administrators want to educate kids, they also have their special interest concerns. The parent is the only agent who is guaranteed to care the most about the kid. So while my decision as a parent might not be pedagogically correct or politically correct, you can always be assured I'm acting in my child's best interest. That's why I should have more control over how the schools run. And, in fact, I should be able to use a voucher to send my child elsewhere. These commissions do not give control to parents. They give control to parents who show up to the meeting.
Leaving the voucher question aside for the moment, because that's not on the table in Albany right now, is there any example you can give us of influence that either you've had as a parent or that you think is important to have over a particular in-school policy?
I can give an example of influence that my parents had, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My parents had the opportunity to choose two different public schools for me. One school would give me the opportunity to take advanced classes, one wouldn't. So in the state where I was raised, they were allowed to move me from one public school to another. This did two things. Because they, more than anyone else, that I should have been in those advanced classes, I got a better educational decision. The reason why the first school did not have those advanced classes offered was a political decision due to the fact that neighborhood did not have political clout. by giving the control to the parent, move the kid to another school. They actually changed the situation in the first school. The administrators saw those students leaving. They took steps, and they got advanced, too.
Ken, thank you very much. Aaron in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Aaron. Role of parents in the public schools?
Yeah, well, I had an interesting point. I've just come from Boston as a student teacher, and there's a lot of focus on how parent involvement seems to be a constant variable or a variable that can powerfully increase student achievement. And I think it's interesting, given Bloomberg and focus on increasing student achievement, that piece of evidence isn't thrown in as a counter argument. Well, why don't we want more parent involvement when it seems to be such a strong factor in increasing student achievement?
Can you give me an example of parent involvement in what way? Because like our first caller, James, said, well, what you want is parent involvement supporting the teachers and helping the kids do their schoolwork.
Right. Well, I'd say one example that seems quite powerful is Boston Arts Academy. And you have involvement going from parents getting help from teachers how to help students with schoolwork, but you also have seats on the school board and the governance structure. And I think those all have to come together. I think it's hard to have a little bit of parent involvement.
Hmm. By the way, Aaron, did you see the New York Times story about parents taking their daughters out of the basketball team so they could stay home and babysit?
No, I did not.
Kind of shocking, right?
Yeah.
Aaron, at least disappointing. Aaron, thank you. And Liz Benjamin from the Daily News, before you go, let me just touch on some other bills real quick that were stalled when the Senate was deadlocked for a month. Is anything happening with gay marriage?
Gay marriage has been put off until the fall. I think that the governor feels like the situation in the Senate is too tenuous, and certainly it's really tenuous.
Vacancy decontrol repeal, so rent-stabilized apartments stay rent-stabilized when the current tenants move out?
Also highly unlikely at this point.
And one more, the Domestic Workers Bill of Rights, which we talked about on the show, so that nannies and other domestic workers can get overtime and other things.
I haven't heard that mentioned almost at all, Brian, to be honest with you, in recent days. Almost nothing.
So it's just not coming up this summer, probably?
I just don't think so. I mean, a lot of the governor's made it clear that the state's fiscal crisis is going to require bringing both houses back, most likely in September. And I think a lot of what is undone and potentially extra controversial will probably be addressed then, if
all
at
right.
all.
Liz Benjamin writes the Daily Politics column in the Daily News and blogs on their website about 25 hours a day. Liz, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Bye-bye. And coming up in a minute, another take from the NAACP Centennial here in New York, this time from a top recruiter for the Army who's in attendance. Should we be concerned that an economic draft leaves too many black Americans in harm's way? Stay tuned.